For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. Or, I should have been back in the week the FA Trophy reaches round two, and we'll be talking to a manager preparing for his new side for a home tie in that competition this week, having only lost narrowly midweek to league opposition in an FA Cup replay in his first game in charge. It sounded pretty special, only the sound didn't. There were some gremlins in the system, and I'm working on trying to get the best of that interview with the new AFC Farb manager, Adam Murray, back, though it's listenable. I also lost the other interview with our other guests. I'm trying to work on that as well. But the hours before this needs to go out to be broadcast, out on Audio Boom, out every Friday morning for the fans, by the fans, means that at the moment, this episode only has me and Matt Badcock talking about the world of non-league football so far this week. Managerial moves, various bits in the FA Cup replays, and what's to come in this weekend's newspaper. So if you bear with me, listen along to Matt and myself giving you the updates on what's happened in the non-league world this week. Hopefully I can bring you the other two interviews a little bit later in the day, maybe later over the weekend, if I can deal with the gremlins that have really badly affected the audio on those interviews. And I really don't want you to have to listen to the audio defects that are in those, but hopefully there's some audio gold to be listened to eventually in those interviews. So have a listen to myself and Matt Badcock from the non-league paper giving you the updates on this week's non-league news. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So, Tom heading on over to a non-league paper tower. So, welcome back to the non-league show. Editor-at-large at the non-league paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you for having me back, Tim.
Well, yeah, apparently you're quite important, and it's always good to talk to you.
Well, that's not true.
It's always good to get the insight from, you know, we talk to the same people sometimes, we talk to different people, we talk to, you know, we have different angles, you know, we sort of dovetail in certain things, and other things interest you, and I couldn't, other things that I do probably don't interest you at all whatsoever. But what we do have is a passion for non-league football. And it's another fast-moving week in the world of non-league. FA Cup replays, brave non-league performances, a new FA Vars draw, managerial movements, fans bailing out clubs with finances again. It's just usual in non-league, isn't it? Should we start with the FA Cup? FA Cup replays, plenty of non-league passion, you know, plenty of stuff for non-league fans to be proud about, but just not that magic in these replays this week.
Yeah, it didn't quite happen in the replays. And obviously, Woking played their first game last night with the original tie postponed, and they went out to Oxford as well. So, not for the want of trying. I was at Cambridge United against Curzon Ashton on Tuesday night. A nice local one, because not all that far outside Cambridge, and I thought I'd get home nice and early, and it went all the way to penalties. So I was home even later than normal. But it was Curzon Ashton. I mean, they did have. It's kind of when you spoke to Adam Lakeland in the week before, and he's saying it's kind of the same thing that a lot of managers say of, you know, you just got to keep in the game, which is true. You know, keeping that game and getting to that last kind of 10, 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, anything can kind of happen. And it was all sort of playing out as they would have hoped. They were, Keith had made a sort of flying save in the first half to keep Cambridge out. Made a couple of other saves. Chris Renshaw, he had a good night. But it was all kind of playing out the way they wanted to. And they started, you could see sort of the belief coming into the team and playing some good football. And Craig Hobson came off the bench and the ball across the face, couldn't quite get enough contact on, and then he got in behind and had a chance, and another ball sort of fizzed across the area where everyone's sort of sliding in, you know, just waiting to get that touch, and thinking, "Oh, this could actually do this," and just wouldn't quite go in the net for them. Went to penalties, and often the way, I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but Cambridge won the toss, had the penalties down out there, and were their fans, and and went on and won the penalty shootout, and they'll host Grimsby next. So it was a tough one for Curzon, but to take a league one side across 210 minutes of football and not concede in either of the games against them was a great show from Adam Lakeland. Really good manager and doing a good job there, and he's sort of hoping that if they can use this as a bit of a platform. And I made the point, you see, 96 Curzon Ashton fans down there at Cambridge on Tuesday night, and the reception they gave their players afterwards just kind of showed, yes, it wasn't a victory, though, how proud they were of their players. And Adam was kind of making the point of how important that connection is, and how that this FA Cup run's really helped with that connecting the fans and the team. So I'm sure there's a similar story across the other games. Obviously, Weymouth had a tough replay at AFC Wimbledon, and they were in it at half time. It was 0-0, and Wimbledon had a bit of a flurry in the second half. A couple of quick goals from Ethan Chisley, who's played non-league football, and they did get one back through Brad Ashley. They went down 3-1. Obviously, Torquay lost at Derby County, and Fylde lost to Gillingham. But there was the other penalty shootout of the night as well, wasn't there? With Solihull Moors so close to beating Hartlepool, and kind of sort of thought they'd done it, but it was a late goal from Paul's equaliser to force extra time, and then the League Two side won it on penalty as well. So it's close, but not quite there week. But we've got plenty of teams already through, and it'll be starting to look that build up to the second round next week. We'll be beginning soon.
Yeah, and from a Hayes and Yedding perspective, we weren't in the FA Cup this time around, but you mentioned that Woking Oxford United game, and I always love a non-league connection. Good to see Tyler Goodrum, if anyone was going to score at the winner in that Woking Oxford United game. Tyler Goodrum, who played against Oxford United for Hayes and Yedding in the FA Cup, scoring that goal. So there's always a non-league connection, even for the side.
Connections everywhere.
Exactly. Then people sneer at you if they don't really understand non-league. And then I go on some sort of rant about the current World Cup squads and all their non-league connections, and they go, then there's a value in non-league. And that value in non-league really begins, I guess, at we've got the pyramid, and but the FA VARs for steps 5 and 6 now, that the competition that gives them that opportunity to prove themselves at Wembley, it's a massive competition for any non-leaguer starting out, or to some of the non-leaguers or finishing up their career. We had the FA VARs last week. FA VARs draw for the third round took place this week. 13 Step 6 clubs in the last 64, with at least two of those guaranteed into round 4. So our resident Stato FA VARs fact file informs me. It's still a competition that every round just gets more and more exciting, and I'm sure there'll be plenty to write as previews. I think that's the first week of December, that next round of the FA VARs?
Yeah, it's the 3rd of December. I think they all start on the Saturday. It might be your Friday game, but yeah, it's that weekend. I think we talk about it all the time on here, how I'm not sure a fan I am of the FA VARs, because it's just a special competition. And as you say, there, all those step 6 teams in with that kind of still in the hat, still in the mix, dreaming of going far. I think we've seen in the trophy in the last couple of years of teams from, step 2 and step 3 having great runs, and I've seen step 6 teams go deep into the FA VARs as well. So it's kind of now getting to that stage where some of the other big hitters are in it now. They've been in for a round. Obviously, Newport, Padmore Town, the holders, got through their first game at Bulldog. We've got all that pressure on them now. And I was talking to Gary Flynn last week and saying, it does feel there is that, as defending champions, I suppose there is that kind of extra pressure and target on your back, and everyone's going to be trying to upset them. They're away at Norwich United next, which would be a tricky one. So it is lots to look forward to in that competition, and lots of great storylines that will come out. I think that's one of the things about the FA VARs, is as more and more clubs, as the clubs go through further into the competition, you get more of these stories that come out of the woodwork, and people that kind of get to be there, get to enjoy the spotlight, and be their team's heroes for a few years.
Yeah, so we're talking a couple of weeks more about that, those games coming up, but it's something to get excited about for sure. But the we spoke last week to John Couch about the managerial merry-go-round was almost as if it would have been switched off. It was going backwards. It was a little quieter last week. Then obviously somebody must have swiped past. I guess some sort of they obviously didn't put a pound in the meter in the modern era. They must have put some contactless payment card or something swiped past the meter, because it's been a busy week, isn't it, in the managerial stakes. Two very big departures caught my attention. I guess starting with John Underwood and Neil Baker stepping down as joint manager at Slough Town. A bit of a surprise given their 10-year success there.
Yeah, I think, as you say, it's one of those ones where when you sort of hear about it, we were out on Monday night at the FSA awards and sort of got a message come through that they've gone, you think, wow. As you said, they've been there 9.5 years, done a fantastic job. They've taken the club from step four, not just up to step two, but even into the step two playoffs, and produced players that have moved on into professional football. And I've sat down with both of them, and just two thoroughly decent people, hugely respected by other managers around the scene, and that's because of what they've done both at Slough and previously at Godalming. Obviously, Slough have been there such a long time, and their FA Cup runs as well, haven't they? They've just really walk away with their heads held high. And, I know eventually they both kind of talked openly that they do want to go into full time football, and that's kind of their dream. And maybe they sort of kind of thought it's the right time to move on from Slough. And they do have that ambition, and you kind of look at the job that they've done, and you feel that they do probably deserve a shot at that. That next step, if they can, if they can get it. But I'm sure at the moment they're reflecting on an unbelievable period and sort of a major sort of life change this week, where they're sort of not involved in that club anymore, and the club will obviously be looking to appoint the next managers to take them forward from here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to know what the two of them are going to do on Saturday. Are they going to meet up? Are they, they spent so much time together alongside each other in the dugout, and the next weekend, it's one of those completely different from that they can probably remember the last time they weren't in a dugout together.
Yeah, they've been a sort of a big part of each other's lives anyway. We've played together at Farnborough Town and at Bracknell, which is kind of where they first got that idea that they'd quite like to go into management together. And I think they've always been clear that they come as a package as well. They are a two. Without wanting to speak for them, I can't sort of see one going off to one club and another going off to another. But I don't know. That might change some aspects. On that sort of subject a couple of years ago. I think they'll be getting some well-earned rest as well and having a breather, because, that's the one thing about, as you say, about this management and the merry-go-round at the moment. It soon spins again and the phone may ring in 10 minutes' time, and suddenly you're back in that club and off you go again.
Mm. And success comes in different forms, but less time, but equally success-filled. And as another surprising departure, that of John Askey up at York City, got them promoted, and they're now mid-table in the top tier. But the relationship is no more.
Yeah, again, another kind of message comes through. I think. What? Askey's left, and Boris was going to say that he's been sacked as well. I'm not sure when he kind of took over through last season whether many people would have thought they would have got promoted out of that very, very tough National League North Division. If he'd done it, to do it even this season would have been an achievement, because we know what a tough league that is to get out of. But managed to do it last season. They've got a lot of change this summer to get a lot of recruitment to get players in and for the step up, and they've made that step up and above the outperforming the other teams who've been promoted last season, above them in the table. They've dipped into the playoffs this year as well, and I think the reaction on social media from York fans tells you all you need to know about kind of what they think about the decision. I think John's kind of spoken now that it's kind of no secret that there's obviously been a relationship breakdown there between him and the hierarchy, and I think he feels sort of pretty hard done by some of the things that the club have come out and said that he didn't want to be there. He sort of refused that and said that's not the case. I think there's just huge things that he wasn't happy with, and I don't think he expected to be turning up on yesterday and losing his job. So it's a difficult time, and a manager who's achieved, had a lot of success at other clubs, obviously took Macclesfield into the league on a very small budget, and had success at York, and you can see that the fans appreciate that and are upset that he's gone. I'm sure that there will be other clubs now thinking we'd quite like John Askey to be our manager.
Lots of other clubs as well, looking further down the pyramid. But also after a long period of success, Kevin Watson leaving Cray Valley Paper Mills, I guess looking for a new challenge.
Yeah, I think the sort of another surprising. Well, again, number one, partly because we did have a piece with Kevin that we'd held back that was going to go in. It's kind of a general piece about the FA Bar, so it's left a big hole in the paper, but that's another story. But someone did a really fantastic fantastic job at Cray Valley. I mean, a small club that many people wouldn't have known too much about, and then they sort of had their Vars run and got to Wembley, and it was a great final against Chelsea. I think they led in that game as well. And I've been promoted to Step 4, and they beat Maidenhead as well, I think, in the FA Cup a couple of years ago as well, from memory. So, they had some really good moments there. He's a really nice guy, Kevin. I think he's a teacher as well, and he's achieved a lot. He's achieved a lot there at that club, and again, I'm sure there'll be clubs in the area who'll be thinking they quite like him as their manager as well.
And there's plenty of vacancies, but we say we have plenty of people that are managers that are sat on the sidelines, ready to swoop in. One that did swoop in this week, Adam Murray, coming in at AFC Fylde, a prime example of the talent across the world. Looking at these non-league vacancies, he was in the Turkish Super League until just a few weeks ago, and now he's trying to get out of that. Well, as you've already said, the very difficult National North Division.
Yeah, someone who's knows his way around non-league, has success as a player and been involved in it as a manager as well, and always a sort of pleasure to chat to. Adam's got lots of ideas and things that he goes in and implements at clubs, and it's a challenge that I think a lot of managers would want at Fylde, to try, and everyone knows the ambition of the club and where they want to get to, and he's been the one who's got the nod to try and go and achieve it, and that first challenge is to get out of that division, which is very unforgiving, but good to see him back. He's always been a good character of the game. Always enjoyed chatting to him over the years, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes out far.
Yeah, and if he is successful, then it's into the National League, which is it's the gift that keeps on giving, really, isn't it? Every week that we talk about the National League on this show, it seems that we've got a new leader, or someone's taken the lead again. Notts County top at the moment, with some interesting games ahead this week. Well, County at home to Yeovil, who are just above that relegation zone. Wrexham, they're at home to Aldershot, similarly placed. Yeah, there's a point between them. We're not even halfway through the season yet, and it's like one of those neck and neck horse races. Watching the Grand National with everybody leaping up and down already.
Yeah, it's gonna be fascinating over the next this particular sort of busy period as we come up before Christmas and see where they are as we come into the new year for that as it all kind of really gets into that meat of the season ahead of the run in. Chester not all that far behind as well, got a game in hand. If they win that game in hand as it stands, they'd be 3 points behind Wrexham and four behind Notts County. They've got a really big game against home to Solihull Moors on Saturday. Notts County, as you say, against Yeovil. Mark Cooper's gone in there and they've sort of got some results and it'll be a different proposition possibly to what they were a couple of weeks ago for Notts, but I think they're expecting a huge crowd there on Saturday. They've been doing tickets for a fiver and I think there's a potential to break the National League record, which is kind of incredible really when you think there could be sort of, I don't know exactly what the capacity, the attendance would be, I think it could be in excess of 14,000 kind of thing. It's just incredible to think really that there'll be that amount of people watching the national fifth-tier game, and at Wrexham they probably have 10,000 there at home as well, and that's just two clubs with been over excess of 20,000-25,000 people watching a non-league game of football, and we probably take that for granted a little bit sometimes, or don't really think about actually how vast and how much depth there is in football in this country. It's kind of unheard of the rest of the world, I imagine. So it just shows what a fantastic league we've got and then we get to watch. And the other beauty of it is that neither of them are guaranteed of winning, because there's no Chesterfield are there. Wigan having an unbelievable season. Whether they can quite win, I don't know. That might be a bit of a push. They're definitely looking like a playoff side and getting some great results. Southend, another big club who played much, much higher up the English ladder, going well at the moment. Obviously, a few issues off the pitch, but on the pitch, it's going great. And teams like Barnet, Bournemouth, Eastleigh, Bromley, Dagenham, it's going to be such a fascinating, as it always is every year, it's going to be a fascinating promotion race.
Yeah, and we've both touched upon it earlier, that the latest problems facing Southend United and issues financially. So suggestions are that the problems won't go away until a stadium move can be completed, which is interesting given your comments in relation to County's aim to try and get a record crowd at their game this week. They've clearly put together a great team on the field, great backroom staff that we've commented on countless times. From the outside looking in, there's lots of comments saying, do they need to cut their cloth and regroup? And are they trying to push on too quickly until they get things sorted? What we don't want is to see another club implode and affect the fans. And I'd imagine there's plenty of fans. This is causing additional stress to every day, even with the success on the field.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very anxious. They've had a very difficult time, hence why they're in non-league in the first place. And proven they're just kind of thinking, things are looking up and the team are winning and doing well, and there's kind of another something else comes out of the woodwork, and you just kind of hope for their sake and also the players and the management, so that everything can kind of get sorted and settle down and move forward, and we can talk about Southend without that kind of caveat of all the off-pitch problems as well, because you don't get many chances to get out of the National League sometimes, and if they hit the team that can potentially do it for them, then they want to try and make the most of that.
Yeah, talking of cutting the cloth, also away from the action, you mentioned as well the FSA awards this week. Obviously, the non-league paper, a little disappointing.
Didn't win.
Well, didn't win. You didn't win Newspaper of the Year, but 10 years for the Guardian. I mean, that's like Ant and Dec, isn't
ten
it?
10 years. This is like a dynasty.
I know, but if you look at it, you know, pound for pound, resource for resource, you'd win every time anyway. So that'd be unfair as well.
Whoa, God, I don't know. I don't like to talk about budgets, Tim. I don't like to talk about those. I'm not one of those managers. I'm not managing to talk about budgets.
Are you talking net or gross?
Because it includes travel. It doesn't include travel. That's what sort of normally national. Well, it includes our travel as well, our overnight stays. There was no overnight stay. There was a mad dash back to the train. But no, it's a good event. It always is a good event. And the Guardian do win every year, and that's fine. I'm just happy to be there.
Yeah, happy to be in that company. As I'm sure you were
happy to be there.
To be in the company of Solihull Moors, who were handed.
Solihull Moors were on our table, and they were on our table, you see. We thought, when they won, we were really pleased. We thought maybe we were on the winner's table. But no, we were just on Solihull Moors' table. But it was interesting to hear about all the things that they've got going on there. They won the Non-League Community Club of the Year, and kind of all the things that they've had going on at the club and what they're doing, and then sort of things of Ukrainian refugees and even people, that sort of connection with the community and the connection with the football club. And, that's the other side of football, isn't it? What football clubs can do away from the pitch on a Saturday and all the teams that they've got. You know, it's a story at many other clubs, you know, from 4-year-olds up to 80-year-olds who play walking football and disabilities. And there's so much good work being done in non-league football on the community side, and that should be celebrated. And South Shields, Gateshead, and another, I think it's Gosport, we're also kind of been nominated for it as well. So, you know, it shows that, you know, all different levels of the pyramid, clubs are doing their best and making their presence felt in the communities, which is so important. So, yep. It was a good night for the Moors. I'm sure the other non-league clubs who were there as well enjoyed their evening, despite likely NLP going away empty-handed.
And on a similar note of the clubs going above and beyond, of course we're going into World Cup month, and I love the stream going on your own Twitter account across social. Good to see so many non-league clubs looking to embrace fans and make the opportunity of the live football window that we got to with the pro game taking a little bit of a rest. They need it. They can't play too many games, but non-league continuing and hopefully filling up clubhouses, filling up stadiums as well, and taking advantage of the wonders of non-league this coming month.
Yeah, it's a kind of a perfect opportunity, perfect window to have this, you know, feed the. There will be people who will be watching World Cup games, but they also want to be hungry to go out and watch live football as well. And as we always say, it'll be right on their doorstep, and they can go out and they can get great value. So normally a very good game of football, competitive game of football, entertaining game of football. And affordable as well, which is, as we all know, the big plus of non-league, and why we all love it and feeling part of something, and why that £5 or £10, whatever you hand over at the gate, how much of a difference that really makes to a club. And you know, it'll be clubhouses will be open showing the games as well, and I think that first weekend of December, there's lots of games have been moved, haven't they, for 1 o'clock kickoffs, because there's a lot more optimistic people than me about England's chances, England and Wales chances, that one of them will be playing on that Saturday, I think, whereas I'm more worried about England opening on Monday and how that goes against Iran. But that's me, Mr. Pessimistic, unfortunately. But it's going to be, it's a fantastic window to showcase the game and why we love it. And I'm sure clubs, you know, we can see that clubs are already coming out with lots of great ideas, as they always do around non-league day. And again, non-league day, we need to pat on the back to James Doe and the team there, because, you know, that idea, it kind of all stems around this now. That's what, mm-hmm. People are looking at. I know non-league day is going to be later in the season, but, you know, it's that idea, all these offers and things that came from James's brilliant founder of non-league day. And hopefully there will be people out there who maybe never been to a non-league game, who get brought in by a friend or see an offer and they fancy going out and watching a game because they don't want to watch whatever's on the offer in that the 4 four games a day in the World Cup, and they just fill up and sit in front of the TV, and they want to get out and get some fresh air and actually, you know, smell and touch a game of football as well. So that's going to be, it's going to hopefully be a brilliant sort of 5 or 6 weeks from that point of view. Again, I think we should be too misty-eyed about it, you know, how great it all can be, because we know there's been issues, you know, fan behaviour issues throughout all levels of football, and we hope that that kind of doesn't show up in the coming weeks, because that could really ruin it for some people who go down for the first time. They don't have a good experience. So let's hope that the experience can be good for everybody, and we can really sort of showcase non-league football in the best positive light.
And talking about showcasing non-league football in the best positive light, this weekend's paper, lots of FA Trophy Round 2 reaction, I guess, this weekend, some FA Cup previews. Anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's edition?
Yes, well, talking of the World Cup, and I think you mentioned it earlier about non-league players, former non-league players, who will be out in Qatar and representing various countries. We've spoken to Luke Garrard, obviously Boreham Wood manager, about Sorba Thomas. I mean, it's not all that long ago that Sorba, as we went into lockdown, was still at Boreham Wood, and he's actually in the England C squad for when they played when they were due to play Wales in March that year in 2020. And a real success story from Boreham Wood. He's now playing for Wales in the Welsh squad alongside Kiefer Moore, who, obviously, well known, came through non-league as well. And I'm sure there's some other, I'm sure there's some other boys in that Welsh squad who've played non-league football, certainly were in the Euros as well. And, you know, in the England squad with Callum Wilson and Nick Pope and Jordan Pickford all had non-league experience. Callum on loan at Kettering and Tamworth. And, Jordan Pickford had loan spells at Alfreton and Darlington. And Nick Pope started his career at Bury Town. Again, Sorba Thomas is kind of showing that, you know, he can come through. There are different routes into the professional game. He's come through at Boreham Wood's academy. He's now playing a championship and ripping it up for Huddersfield and being linked to moves in the Premier League. And he's now away with Wales trying to make his mark there. Incredible story, but it's not the only one they've got at Boreham Wood. He's in the World Cup. Iliman Ndiaye, who's at Sheffield United player. He's in the Senegal squad. He also came through their system as well. So an amazing thing for Boreham Wood to kind of be sat back over the next couple of years and think we had a part in the development of a couple of players who are at the World Cup.
Yeah, and they're the sort of stories, again, when we're talking about picking up new fans for non-league, if you pick up your copy of the non-league paper at the weekend, if you read it, pass it on to somebody else as well, so that they learn about the magic of non-league. And, you know, now's the ideal opportunity with a story like that to show them how non-league is important to the bigger game that they might be watching on the TV that week in the World Cup. Matt, I certainly look forward to reading that story and the rest of the non-league paper this week. As ever, a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for all your help, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
So unfortunately, for now at least, that's it for this week. Thank you, as ever, to my guests. Hopefully we will get them on air at some point using those interviews, if I can sort out the audio gremlins that have had a major impact on your ability to listen to them effectively. A big thank you to everybody to continue to listen. Apologies for the gremlins again this week. Don't forget to tell friends and share the pod, because every little helps. And of course, follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, find us every week on Audio Boom and on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Castbox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, thank you, and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA